Amen. Friends, grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We are glad to have all of you worshiping with us this morning, including those who are watching on Facebook Live. We are glad you are all here. A special welcome to visitors and guests. We do hope you feel welcome. If at any time you'd like to learn more about our church or to give us the chance to know you better, you are welcome to fill out a Let's Get Acquainted card. Those are found in the seat rack in front of you. Feel free to sign and fill out and place in the offering plate as it passes by later in worship. As it is Easter, it is a great joy to celebrate the risen Christ together as a community of faith. There are also announcements in the inside cover of the bulletin that show some of the ways that we are celebrating today. The first announcement is not in our bulletin. This is the last Sunday where we are collecting our one great hour of sharing offering. This is a denomination-wide offering that goes to support hunger initiatives and disaster assistance, important things that we can do as the body of Christ together. If you see an envelope like this out in the commons, we hope you will give as a celebration of Easter. As you wander around the first floor of the church, you might also see our current art exhibit quilted together. Thanks to many of you who have donated quilts to show the variety and the diversity of different artistic expressions in our community as we imagine our church as a kind of tapestry woven and quilted together of different people and different gifts. So I hope you'll have the opportunity to explore a little following worship. A special welcome also to our musicians. We are glad you're here and thank you for helping lead us in worship. At this time, let us begin our worship together. Let us celebrate God and the risen Christ, and let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ together.
Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The Lord is risen.
Hallelujah.
And let us pray. God of mercy, we no longer look for Jesus among the dead, for he is alive and he's become the Lord of life. From the waters of death, you raise us with him and renew your gift of life within us. Increase in our minds and hearts the risen life we share with Christ in the joy of worship, in prayer and praise, in singing and rejoicing. Help us to grow as your people toward the fullness of life with you. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Be seated. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God in confidence. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Almighty God, in raising Jesus from the grave, you shattered the power of sin and death. We confess that we remain captive to doubt and fear, bound by the ways that lead to death. We overlook the poor and the hungry and pass by those who mourn. We are deaf to the cries of the oppressed and indifferent to calls for peace. We despise the weak and abuse the earth you have made. Forgive us, God of mercy. Help us to trust your power to change our lives and make us new, that we may know the joy of life abundant, given in Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed your sins from you. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
You may be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for our time together in worship. Good morning, come on down. That looks great. Yeah, you can bring your coloring here, that's okay. Do we have anyone else? Well, it's good to see you all this morning. Happy Easter. Did you all have fun outside?
Yeah.
Did you get lots of eggs?
Yeah. I had
100
eggs like
this. 100 eggs? That's a lot of eggs.
I got a lot of eggs.
That would take more than a day to get
those. It would take more than a day to get through all those. You're probably right. You got a lot too. So we're not just here though to collect eggs. Why are we here this morning?
Because
God. That's usually the reason every week, right? Because Jesus will come back. Where did he come back from?
Because
the dead. Were you going to say something, Libba? Yes. He came back from the tomb. You're exactly right. Isn't that something? That's good news. That's something we're here to celebrate, that even though the worst thing we can imagine happened, now we're happy because God has come back, Jesus is raised, and so we are here. Yes, the Jesus died, but now he's back, and that's why we're here today. So we're going to work on one thing. The beginning of worship, I'm sure some of you helped us with this. There's one thing we say to celebrate this. So we say, the Lord is risen, and then you say, He is risen indeed. You've got it. But I'm not sure everyone else out here has it yet. So when you think about why are we here today, what are we celebrating? We are celebrating the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. So will you help me? That's great. All right, we all know our lines now. We're going to practice it one more time. Will you say it with me? And then everyone else out here is going to say the second part, okay?
God and Jesus really love.
They love Easter too. I'll bet they do love Easter too. Okay, we're going to say it together. Are you ready? The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
All right, let's try it one more time. You're going to help me with the Lord is risen. One more time. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Thank you. Let's have a prayer together. You can repeat after me.
Gracious God,
we are so thankful for all you have done for us.
Help us to celebrate and to remember the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Will you hold still for just a minute while we say goodbye? As we dismiss our children to their time together in worship, let us bless them, saying, God be with you there, and God be with you here.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Loving God, you have made us that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Give us a hunger for your word, and in that food satisfy our longing. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first Scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 65. Listen for God's word. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy, and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be. And my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Our next scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. We find three women on the way to the tomb of Jesus on Easter morning, but they don't find him there. In the Gospel of Luke, listen for God's word to you. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. These words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, we come to this place to meet you and our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't just want to see the empty tomb, but we're here to meet the living Christ in your word to us. Give us ears to hear and hearts to rejoice in all that Christ has done and is doing for each one of us. We pray in his name. Amen. Maybe you watched this past week as fire almost consumed the great cathedral of Notre Dame in the heart of Paris. All you could do was watch. Firefighters struggled to contain the blaze. There were questions as to whether anything might be saved, the priceless rose windows, the 12th century stonework. As the fire burned, the chaplain of the Paris Fire Department, Jean-Marc Fournier, insisted on being let into the burning building. It was his initiative that began the effort to save priceless works of art, historical artifacts, and even a relic purported to be the crown of thorns Jesus wore at the crucifixion. All of this as the building was falling apart around them. There are just some people who know what to do when things are falling apart. It's the friend who always knows the right thing to say, or the neighbor who brings you food when you're sick. It's the person whose act of kindness brings you out of yourself when you most need it. It's the one you admire who does a job, even when it's the last thing they want to do. You want someone with that kind of grace and nerve around when tragedy strikes, and nowhere is this kind of grace needed more than when someone has died. This is when the practiced care of a community, a family, a church, friends, helps you bear your grief. When there's nothing else to hang on to, you hang on to these people who know the rituals of mourning and somehow what to do, knowing that there's at least one place in your life in the world where people remember how to do these kinds of things. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary are a few of these people. Mary, the mother of James, and Mary Magdalene and Joanna, early disciples of Jesus, go to the tomb on Easter morning bringing spices for Jesus' body. They go as soon as light is breaking after a Sabbath and a night's rest, although maybe the night hasn't been too restful. It might have been hard to sleep with what they had just seen. So bleary-eyed and worn out with crying, the three women did the only thing they possibly knew how to do and observed the forms of grief. They came to anoint the body of Jesus as one last sign of reverence and love. It's just putting one foot in front of the other when the grief is still raw. Earlier this past year, my grandfather died. It was not unexpected, but that doesn't always make it easier. And the family convened and went through the modern forms of this kind of grief, which manifests itself in some established practices. You go to the funeral home, you meet with the pastor, you assign who cooks what meal, you prepare a reception, all with the help of the church. This was the first experience of death for our daughters, Margaret and Ellie, and Ellie, being old enough to understand, was curious about all the different things we were doing. Why are we eating this food? Why are we here? Or where was Granddad now? What would happen to his body? Why did we have to have a funeral? Leaving the cemetery after the graveside service, Ellie was concerned that we wouldn't be camping there overnight because how else would we see Granddad ascend into heaven? We did our best, but it takes a while to get good at grief, if anyone ever can be that. It even takes a while just to understand what's happening. All you can really do is observe the forms handed down to you and pass them on. You sing the hymns, you say the prayers, you remember the promise of Jesus, "See, I go to prepare a place for you." And you trust that at the heart of this, there's a reason why we respond to tragedy in a certain way. And there is, because this is what it means to be a witness. Shows that our rituals of death and mourning, and more than that, of living, are informed by one thing, still dependent on what Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary saw early at the tomb on Easter morning. It doesn't have to be death that makes you remember this. You can be a witness to the resurrection of Jesus in illness or loss or broken relationship or a defeated dream. A good portion of life, an important one, has to do with how you handle things when they're at their worst. What happens when what worked before is always or all of a sudden broken? What happens when the cause of your hope is dead and buried? What happens when your place of worship goes up in flames? These are questions for disciples of Jesus. We see the disciples this morning, the 11, now that Judas is no longer with them. They're noticeably absent from what goes on at the tomb. Maybe they're not among those sorts of people who knew what to do. They hear the news from the three women secondhand that when they got to the tomb and the stone was rolled away, the body was gone. And then two strangers told them the most miraculous thing. "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how we told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and crucified and on the third day rise again." Apparently they didn't remember. The angels turned the women's attention back to the real world and somehow they know what to do next. Remember, they're that kind of person. They go straight away to tell the other disciples, and we expect the disciples to react well because what more could they want? We know how their story ends. They become daring and wise preachers of the gospel. We think of all people in the world, they'll know just what to do, how to respond to this amazing and perplexing story. The women have peered inside the tomb, confronted their deepest disappointment right in the face. The men, the disciples, don't know what to do. They have to see for themselves. They have to look inside the tomb. Maybe we understand their hesitancy. When you're grieving or hurt or broken, wouldn't you rather be anywhere else?
Is that really when you want to look into the tomb? Peter is the one who listens. He takes initiative. He goes to see for himself. You might think that after the news of the past week, the others might want to go along and see. Maybe they were still too heartsick to go, or maybe they're not as heartsick as Peter after the past few days. Peter does the only thing he can do. He runs to the tomb. He looks in. He confronts the deepest disappointment of his life. Maybe he was thinking about his betrayal, how he denied Jesus 3 times right as he was about to go to the cross. Peter could have been brave. He could have gone with him. Instead, he hid himself. Could he hope that maybe now the worst thing he had ever done, the worst thing in his life, had been unwritten? He looks in the tomb. There are the unwrapped cloths, the only evidence that Jesus was even there. Peter's amazed. Somewhere out in the world, Jesus Christ is alive. So Peter does the only other thing he can do. He goes home. He goes back to his ordinary, regular life, back to work and bills, back to family and community, back to meals and clothes and a few sticks of furniture. It's all the same as it was before. Except now, everything is different. We all have that place we're afraid to look. We know it's there, but like the disciples, we do our best to avoid it. Every Easter presents us with yet another opportunity to look into the tomb and to see for ourselves. We wonder what we'll find. What would it look like to confront our deepest fear or our greatest disappointment? There's a reason we do our best to avoid it. And maybe the thought that Jesus would take it away seems like an idle tale. The tomb could be the grief that replaces the person who is gone. It's always there, even though you try your best to avoid it. The tomb could be an illness, the disease you're afraid will alter your life irreparably. All you can really do is try to bury it or ignore it and grieve. The tomb could be your fear for your children, if you can keep them safe enough in a dangerous world. And maybe if you do, you're mourning your life as a parent, knowing that even if things turn out as best as they possibly can, your children will grow and leave you, and that will change you profoundly. The tomb could be your aimlessness or your doubt. It could be the sneaking suspicion that you've nursed in your own heart that none of this really matters. And all you can really do with your life is try to avoid the pain long enough to enjoy it. The tomb could be your sin, something you've done, something you disappointed in. You wonder if God really forgives people like you. It would be easy to step away from the tomb, because that's what we do most of the time anyway. We do our best to avoid our own suffering, so much so that we forget that God redeems and heals those parts of us too, especially those parts of us. But maybe there are examples of people you know who know how to act in a tragedy or a crisis, or in those parts of your life you'd rather not think about. And you remember Mary Magdalene and Mary and Joanna on the way to the tomb to look their heartbreak right in the face. You remember Peter, how he ran to go see for himself because he had nowhere else to go. All of them looked at their fear and their disappointment. They glanced into the tomb and found hope in the darkest place they could possibly imagine. Doesn't matter that the most interesting, amazing thing in the gospel happens off screen. The story isn't about the mechanics of the resurrection. It's about the resurrection of Jesus. God was not there.
which means that the deepest disappointment of their lives, of our life, has vanished, and their new life was just beginning. It wasn't in the tomb. It was out there in the world, in their home, waiting for them. The theologian Karl Barth said, "Christians do not believe in the empty tomb, but in the living Christ." Easter is when we look in the tomb for ourselves. We come here with our disappointments and our heartbreak. We come here with things that need healing or redemption. Sometimes we come here because it's expected of us, and you're traveling from out of town and your family's all here. Sometimes you wonder if there's enough magic left in the old stories to break you out of the regularity of your life. Look in the tomb for yourself, the tomb of your loneliness or your heartbreak, your disappointment, your illness, your anxiety, your depression. These are the places where the risen Jesus has come to life. This is why Peter decides to go home. He goes back to the life he had left because his problems, even if they aren't all gone, now have hope embedded in their being. Jesus Christ is walking around in the world. What he said was true. What he did counted. Peter goes home because the resurrection doesn't end at the tomb. It starts there. It becomes the basis of a new life. All life is life following the risen Jesus. And this means that your life isn't in the tomb either. It's not in the most desperate place you nurse within yourself. It's with the one who calls you into the light of something new. You live the only way that you can. You go home. But now, everything is different. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In response to the good news of God, let us confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let us join our hearts in prayer, first in silence. Holy God, from the depths of our being, in all our fear, our longing, our wonder, we praise you for who you are in Jesus Christ. We observe this morning in our amazement. We hear the old story again. Sometimes we cannot even believe that it's possible. But we return because we've heard the good news you have brought. And we know that nothing can ever be the same. Here we offer ourselves to you in prayer and all that we bring. Here we confess that we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. In our joy, in our worship, in our silence, in our speech, in our pleas, and in our sighs too deep for words, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Of all things, we thank you for your resurrection in Jesus Christ, for the promise that you have defeated death. We're grateful that as a community, we have this good news to share and to live by. Make us faithful to your promise in this place, as we worship and serve and grow in faith. Be with our leaders and our elders as they envision the future you have set before us. Be with those who work hard and show your love through their patient attention to many tasks here. Bless musicians and teachers, wise elders and joyful children. Be with all who are discerning what it means to follow you here. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we ask for the presence of your redemptive love, for the comfort and encouragement of your Spirit in those places that we fear to name. We ask it in our grief as we remember those we have loved and lost. We pray for the Grinio family as they mourn Jeff's aunt this week. We pray for peace and healing in our illnesses, and for those who are sick. We remember the George family and Greg and ask your continued help with him and his healing for a kidney and for your peace. Pray for Susan Reagan as she returns home from the hospital. For Pat Carlisle, friend of Mike and Priscilla Brown, and her diagnosis. For others we know and love and name to now, in the silence of our hearts. We pray for your presence in our doubt, for all those things we don't say. We ask that your Spirit would come and speak to each one of us where we need to hear that word of life, that stretches beyond death. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for your whole creation, which you love and died for in Jesus Christ, for places of warfare and violence and injustice that will end in your peace. We ask that you would come as you have promised to places such as these, to our broken political system, to our unequal society, for the poor and the hungry, to our poisoned earth. We place these things in your hand, confident that you are the risen Lord, the Lord of all creation. Lord, in your mercy. These and all our prayers we offer in the name of Jesus Christ. And here we pray in the way Christ teaches his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In joy and in gratitude, let us return our gifts to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, for your gift of Jesus Christ, for his life, for his work, his healing and his peace, for his resurrection and destroying death, how can we thank you? Today we offer our gifts and ourselves to follow Christ in his risen life and pray that his Spirit would lead and guide us to consecrate us to this purpose and to follow you in your way of love. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Why do you look for the living among the dead? The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. So go home. Find the risen Lord waiting for you. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.